But I remember I went by his house. I heard he got saved. I went by his house to get him to go out and do some dope. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. Walked out from his kitchen. And I said, man, let's go. We're going to get high. And he said, man, I got a natural high with God. I know what he's talking about now. I'm higher than I've ever been in my life, brother. I got hold of something when I got saved. And I want to encourage you to get some buttons. You can get several of them. Give them out. Wear them out and about and let people know the reason for the season. Amen. It's an easy way to do it. We can make more. Just put it on there. Nobody's going to shoot you or beat you up or nothing like that. You're not going to get sued, hopefully. Or maybe you will. Might be a good thing. But take your Bible. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I mean, Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen.
He's not only the reason for the season, He's the reason for everything. Amen. That song Brother Jeff sung, that's good. I like that. We're going to have to put that on the CD version 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is a familiar passage to you. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll pick it in at verse 5. And it's, well, everybody knows this verse, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I'm going to preach on one mediator between man and God this morning. And the word mediator, it means to intervene. It comes from the word middle. It's from the Latin word medio, which means to be in the middle. Our word medium comes from it. And a mediator is one who attempts to make two parties involved in a conflict come to agreement. That's what he does. He's a mediator between God and man. A mediator is a go-between that interposes between parties at variances for the purpose of reconciling them. It's one who intervenes between two disputing parties. Every parent that's ever had a child is a mediator, by the way. You learn to mediate with children, don't you? Sometimes you kind of mediate yourself sometimes, you know. Like a lady one time I heard about, she went to the grocery store and she had a little girl in the shopping cart. She was 3 or 4 years old. And this lady was walking her down the grocery aisle there, and that little girl was screaming, "Want some cookies," you know. Every parent's been through that. "I want these cookies, I want these cookies." And a mom was saying, "Now, Ellen, don't get upset, Ellen. Just calm down, Ellen. Everything will be okay, Ellen. Don't get upset, Ellen." And so she comes down another aisle, and a little girl starts screaming, "Want some candy? I want some candy!" And the mother's going, "Now, Ellen, be calm now. We're just on aisle two. We got seven more aisles to go. Just calm down, Ellen. Just calm down. Don't get upset. Don't get mad. Calm down. Control yourself, Ellen." And she's walking all through the store, and that child's screaming, and she's, "Now, calm down, Ellen. Just calm down." And this man's watching her the whole time. He's been watching her go through all this. And she gets to the checkout line, and the little girl starts screaming, "Want some gum and stuff." And she says, "Now, Ellen, just control yourself, Ellen. Just, Ellen, we'll be through in a little bit. We're at the checkout line, and Ellen, you'll be able to go home and take a nap and rest. We're just about home, so just calm down, Ellen." And she goes through the checkout line, and the man's hearing this. So he walks out in the parking lot and he says, "Ma'am, I just want to tell you I commend you for your patience dealing with little Ellen." And she said, "Oh, that's not Ellen, that's Tammy. I'm Ellen." He goes, "That mother saying you need to calm down now and control this." Sometimes we kind of mediate within ourselves, you know what I'm talking about. But a mediator, Miss Jane, that's that person that kind of intervenes and goes into conflict and kind of settles it. And Jesus Christ is the mediator between man and God. I heard about a couple one time. They was going through Louisiana. And they was going through Natchitoches, Louisiana. That word's a big word. You ought to see it. And they were arguing. The wife was saying, "It's pronounced Natchitoches." And the man was saying, "That's not, it's pronounced Natchitoches." She said, "It's Natchitoches." He said, "No, it's Natchitoches." And they were going at it. And so they pulled in the restaurant there, and they got in the restaurant, and they went over to the counter where the young lady was, and then the man said, "Young lady, we're having an argument. We're hoping you'll settle this argument we have. We'd like for you to properly pronounce where we're at."
and give us the proper pronunciation for where we're at, and speak very slowly and clearly so we can understand. And she looked at him kind of strange, and she goes, Burger King. I mean, sometimes a mediator is not a mediator. But the Bible said there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And the word mediator occurs 7 times in the King James Bible. It's found 3 times in the book of Galatians. It's found 1 time in 1 Timothy 2 here, and it's found 3 times in the book of Hebrews. And every time it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to preach a little bit this morning on one mediator between man and God. And I'm going to ask Brother Chris, would you take us to the Lord in prayer before the message?
Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, God, for another opportunity, God, to be in your house, God, today, Father. We thank you, God, for what we feel in our hearts already.
Amen.
Pray, God.
Yes, Lord.
God, this is your sanctuary today.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
I pray for your word today, God.
Yes, Lord.
Just to go out, God. We didn't come here just to be hearers, God, but just to also be doers, God, of the word today, Father. Not deceive ourselves.
Amen.
Father, we pray, God, as the word goes out today, God. We pray, God, for the heart.
Yes,
God,
Lord. Yes.
Of people today, God. God, and find a place, God, to God to lodge in our heart.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
God might work a life in us, God.
Yes.
Work in our life today, God. Might change us today, Father. God, if we can leave here, God, change people.
Amen.
God,
amen.
Leaving the same way we came, God, today. But we pray, Father, that we be changed today, God. Conform to this world, be transformed by the
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Today, Father, we pray, God, for each and every one. God, pray, Lord, we might be deceived here today, God.
Yes, Lord.
We've never been saved, God. We pray.
Amen.
The Spirit of God, deal with that heart today, God.
Yes, Lord.
And God, let them know, God, what the true meaning of Christmas is.
Amen.
Today, and God, how Jesus came and died. God rose from the grave, God, to save us today. And we pray, God, today for each and every one, God. Pray, God, for every prayer request that we've heard spoken today. I pray, God, you'll comfort us, God, today in all our trials and tribulations today, God. And God, we just thank you. Pray for Brother Terry. God, he brings the word this morning. I pray you take him and use him, God, today. And God, anoint him with the Spirit of God. He might preach
yes,
the word,
Lord.
God. He might go out today, Father. And God, we'll thank you for everything that you've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Now I want to say a few things about a mediator, and there's one God, and there's one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. And I want to say, first of all, this morning, that a mediator must be able to represent both parties. If a mediator is going to be a mediator between God and man, I want to say this morning, he must be able to represent both God and man. And Jesus Christ, I want to say this morning, he was God. He was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ, in order to represent me and you, the man Christ Jesus, he must understand what it's like to be a man.
Hey.
If he's a mediator between God and man, he must understand what it's like to be a man to represent us. John chapter 4 verse 6. It said that Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey. He got weary a little bit later. He asked her to give him a drink. He got thirsty on the cross. He cried out, I thirst. Matthew chapter 4, it said the devil tempted him when he was hungry. Mark chapter 11, verse 12, it said he went to Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus Christ, just like you and I, he got weary, he got hungry. Matthew chapter 8, during the storm, the Bible says he was asleep, he got tired. Mark chapter 3, verse 5, he got angry when he looked around about him with anger. I want to say this morning that Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be a man. Over in John chapter 11 one day, there at the grave of Lazarus, it said when Jesus saw him weeping there, in the Bible, the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, 35, it says, and Jesus wept. Jesus knew what it was like to be a man.
That's right.
3 times in the Bible it said he wept. He wept over Jerusalem in Luke 19, in John chapter 11 and Lazarus, Hebrews chapter 5, it said he prayed in the garden with strong crying and tears. He was a real man like you and I. A mediator must be able to represent both parties. Just like you and I. He was tempted just like you and I. The Bible said in Mark, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led of the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Right.
He was a man. All the temptations and all the things that you and I go through, I want to tell you, he's already been there. He was a man just like you and I. Romans chapter 8 verse 3, it says, for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. 1 Peter 4:1, for as much as then Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, I want to say this morning, the mediator must be able to represent both parties. For Jesus Christ to represent and know what we're going through, Brother Anthony, He had to become a man. He was as much man as you and I. He went through some of the same things you and I went through. But not only was He man in order to represent God and man, He had to be God. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. All the new Bibles change that. They take the word God out. The ESV says He was manifest in the flesh. The NIV said He appeared in the body. Hey, He appeared in the body. Hey, let me tell you something. He won't work as a mediator. We need God manifested in the flesh to mediate between you and I. A mediator must represent both parties. He must be man, but he must be God. Philippians 2:6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. All the new Bibles change that. All throughout the Bible, Jesus Christ, John 14:9, He said, Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Listen, Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And the only way in the world, my brother, He could mediate between God and man, He had to represent both parties. Take your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and get Galatians 3. The Bible said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. I want to tell you this morning, if He's going to be a mediator between God and man, He must understand the things of God. But Brother Anthony, He's got to understand what I went through. He's got to understand the temptations and the trials and the tears and the things we go through. A mediator must be able to represent both parties. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Colossians 2:9 says this, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The only way in the world, my friend, that Jesus Christ could ever meditate and be the mediator between God and man, He had to be the God-man. He had to understand what man went through. He had to understand the holiness of God. Look over Galatians chapter 3 and get 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and Galatians chapter 3. He's going to be a mediator, my friend. He must be able to represent both parties. He must know the things of man. He must know the things of God. And there's only one person in the universe that could ever do that, my friend. Galatians chapter 3 verse 20 says this, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. A mediator is not a mediator of one. A mediator has to mediate between two. And Jesus Christ is the only one in the universe to do it. And in order to do it, He had to become a man. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says this. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says this. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? There's no way to know the things of a man unless you become a man. Look at the next part. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Listen, the only way in the world that Jesus Christ could become the mediator between God and man, He had to know the things of man. And the only way He could do it, Brother Jeff, come down this earth and walk in the body of a man. He was as much God as He was man. He was as much man as He was God. I like that song. He was so much man that He slept in a boat. Yet He was so much God that the wind ceased when He spoke. He was so much man that He wept when Lazarus died. But He was so much God that Lazarus came forth when He cried. He was so much man that He thirsted at the well. But He was so much God that He saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that He died on a tree. But He was so much God that He rose to victory. He had to be God. He had to be man. Do you know anybody else that could fill that bill? Could Barack Obama do it? Could Donald Trump do it? Could Dr. Oz do it? Could Dr. Phil do it? There's nobody in the universe that could fill the bill of a mediator between God and man but the man, Christ Jesus. He must be able to represent both parties. The Catholic Church teaches that Mary is a mediator. They call her the mediatrix between God and man. Here's what the Catholic Missal says. Mary, the most faithful mediatrix of salvation. She has been made the ladder to paradise, the gate to heaven, the most true matrix between mediatrix between God and human beings. It says this, no creature has ever received any grace from God except through the hands of Mary, is what it reads. The prayer, they say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb. Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. I want to say, Mary was not God. She couldn't represent God, brethren. The mediator had to be God manifest in the flesh. A mediator must both represent both parties. Even right now, my friend, Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 8, verse 34, says, Who is it he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who is making intercession for us right now. Right now in heaven, Jesus Christ is mediating between God and man. Hebrews chapter 7, 25. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Right now, the right hand of God, Jesus Christ, is a mediator between God and man. Even on the cross, there He died on the cross, and after they're beating Him, all that stuff, Jesus said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they done. Even on the cross, He's mediating between God and man. I want to say a mediator, he must represent both parties. I want to say the second thing about a mediator. A mediator must be able to remove the partition that separates the parties. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. If you're going to be a mediator, you got to be able to remove the partition and solve the conflict. You got to go in there, whatever is causing the conflict. You got to be able to remove the partition that's separating the two. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face far from you. My friend, God is holy, and sin cannot enter into His presence. And man is filthy and vile and depraved. And there seems no possible way that God and man could ever fellowship, that we could ever get along. The Bible said in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it said, God saw the wickedness of man and was great in the earth, and in every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Isaiah 64, 6 says, we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. How in the world could you and I ever, Brother Chris, how could we ever, ever, ever fellowship with a holy, sinless God? We needed some mediator, Brother Anthony, to remove that partition in between us. We needed somebody to come down and be able to move that partition that was between us. It seemed like it was impossible. How in the world could a sinful man, the imagination of his heart, evil continually, how could a man that are righteous and filthy rags, how could we ever fellowship and enjoy the presence of the Holy God? Because here's the problem. Think about it. Remember what I just told you? Our mediator had to be a man, and he had to be God. The problem with man, Brother Ben, we can't come in God's presence. We're too sinful. We're too depraved. What we needed was a sinless man. Well, maybe we could have got Adam. Adam. Adam wouldn't work. He couldn't even handle his wife. The woman that God gave it to me, she gave it to me and I did eat. Maybe we could get old Noah. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The whole world was saved by Noah. Maybe Noah could be our mediator. But wait. I remember Noah, Miss Samantha, when he got off that boat. He had a problem with that bottle, didn't he? End up his kids. Hey, how about old Abraham? He is a good guy. He was a friend of God. He believed God. He was counting for right. We could get him, Brother Jeff, to be the mediator between God and man. Uh-huh. Wait. Believe old Abraham lied about his wife, didn't he? Then a couple of times they come along and said, that's your wife? He said, no, that's my sister. You can take her to party with her. What he did? None of them could do it. Daniel couldn't do it. He let Nebuchadnezzar bow down to him. Elijah couldn't do it. Moses got mad, been hitting the rock. None of them could do it. No man could come in God's presence. We were up the creek without a paddle. Nobody could remove that partition because we couldn't even come in His presence. We need a sinless, spotless man, one that knew no sin. Job 33 says, yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show him the man, his upraiser, there's somebody that we could send. Is there someone, there's a mediator that could stand between God and man and remove that partition that separated you and I? And brother, that partition was sin. That song Squire Parsons sings, the gulf that separated from my Christ, my Lord. It was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to His demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. Our mediator, he must be able to remove that partition that separated the two parties. John the Baptist in John chapter 1 verse 29, he let out some of the greatest words we ever heard in the world. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Our mediator came on the scene. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, the mediator came in and he removed that partition that separated me and you. And there was only one mediator in the universe that could ever do that. And it was the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to say this morning, I don't say this figuratively or slang, but I want to say this morning, He didn't just remove the partition, Brother Zito. He knocked the hell out of it. Literally, Jesus Christ knocked the hell out of the partition between me and you. Because I'm going to tell you, if that partition was right there, Brother Jeff, every last one of us would be in hell right now.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ ripped it apart, brother. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ, ye sometimes were far off, are made nigh. We can come to God by the blood of Christ. Watch this. For He is our peace, who hath made both one. Who's He talking about? Us and God, we're one. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, we were enemies of God. Even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Verse 16. That He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The enemy, the enmity. Jesus Christ, He abolished and He broke down that middle wall of partition between you and I and God. If that middle wall was still there, my friend, every last one of us would be in hell right now. All the powers of hell were broken down at that day on Calvary. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that hath the power of death. That is the devil. That day, brother, the mediator removed the partition that stood between you and I and God. There's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus, the mediator, has to remove that partition. The first World's Fair was held in Chicago in 1893. During the first World's Fair in Chicago in 1893, they had an exhibit. It was called the Congress of Religions. In that exhibit, Brother Jeff, they had all the religions of the world. They had Islam, they had Krishna, they had the Judaism, they had all the religions of the world there represented. And the man that represented the Christian religion was a preacher from Boston. His name was Joseph Cook. A Bible-believing, hellfire and damnation preacher, brother. And Joseph Cook went out before all those religions to represent the Christian faith. And he brought a lady out there in front of him. And this lady represented Lady Macbeth of Shakespeare. And if you've ever read Lady Macbeth of Shakespeare, Lady Macbeth kills Duncan and murders him there in the play. And in the play, He said this, here's Lady Macbeth, pointing to the lady. After the bloody death of Duncan, she as she rubbed her hands, cried, will these hands ever be clean? All the perfumes of Arabia were not sweet in this little hand. Will all the great Neptune's ocean wash the blood clean from my hands? He said they rub and they rub, crying to wash the stain from Duncan's blood. He said, but it's impossible. And Dr. Joseph Cook stood before all those religions and he said, gentlemen, do you have any hope for Lady Macbeth? Gentlemen in your religions, do you have an answer for Lady Macbeth? Can you cleanse the stain of blood? None of them spoke a word. And Joseph Cook, that preacher, said, does anybody have an answer for Lady Macbeth? Is there any hope? Wait! I hear an answer. It's John and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, the mediator, he must be able to remove that pardon, that partition. He must represent both parties. And I will say something else. The mediator must be able to restore the peace. You see, it's not enough just to represent both parties. It's not enough just to remove the partition. But that mediator's got to somehow and get those two parties fellowship and shaking hands and enjoy the presence of each other again. And the mediator between God and man, he had to be able to restore that peace that was lost that day with Adam. The Bible said in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. But I'm going to tell you, brother, when Adam fell, you know what he did? He began to hide from the presence of the Lord. And mankind's been hiding for 6,000 years from God. Why? They couldn't stand to be in His presence. There was no peace. Just like you were before you got saved. You didn't want to get around God. Last place I wanted to ever be in was a church. I've told you I've been to church where I got saved 22 times my whole life. One of those was Trick and the other one was Vacation Bible School. You couldn't drag and got me in church, brother. But brother, when I got saved, the peace was restored. And brother, that Wednesday night I got saved, and that Sunday morning I was in a Baptist church. Nobody had to tell me to go. You say, why? That peace was there. I went home looking for a Bible. That peace had been restored. And the mediator, he must be able to restore that peace. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. There was no peace till I got saved. There was only condemnation. Romans 5:18, therefore by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. The condemnation. There was only condemnation and fear and judgment. But that one mediator between God and man, he must be able to restore the peace. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2 where you were. He must be able to restore the peace. He must be able to represent both parties. He must be able to remove that partition that separates us. He must be able to restore that peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 we looked at. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity of the law of commandments contained ordinance, for by Himself twain one man shall making peace. I want to say a mediator, he must restore the peace. He must represent both parties. He must remove the partition. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6, good Christmas verse, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon His shoulders, name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince a peace. I want to say a mediator, he must be able to restore the peace. He must be able to remove the partition that separates us. He must represent both parties. He must know what it's like to be God. He must know what it's like to be man. I want to say this morning, not only that, the mediator must be able to repair the pain that they went through. When you get two parties fighting and estranged in conflict, there's a lot of pain through the years. There's a lot of tears and a lot of things that go through. And after 4,000 years of human history, the pain and the rebellion and the sin had went through this world like a hot knife through butter. And the mediator must somehow be able to repair the pain. Take your Bible, turn over to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Our mediator between God and man, he must be able to represent both parties. He must be able to remove that partition between us. He must be able to restore the peace, but he must be able to repair that pain of all those years and sin. Man, I got saved when I was 20 years and 20 years old of sin and rebellion against God. There had been a lot of pain against the Lord before I got saved. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5, Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, watch this, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was the only evil continually, watch this. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God was in so much pain and hurt so much, he said, I wish I'd have never made man. That's what he said. There was so much pain there, and the mediator had to come down and repair that pain. The pain was so great that the Holy God said he repented that he made man on the earth when he saw it. And brother, that was just in Genesis. Can you imagine what it looks like now? Some of the things I gave you this morning, some of the things we hear all over the place. Could anyone in the universe, is there a solution? Is there anything that could repair such deep pain? And God said he repented that he'd even made man. There's a lot of blood, a lot of sweat, and a lot of tears been shed in 4,000 years of sin and rebellion and when Jesus Christ came on the scene. And brother, it was going to take a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to repair that pain. There was a one mediator between God and man that day in the Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means a place of a press of oil that is pressed. That's where the Son of God was pressed out. And he's praying. He said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Say, what was that cup, preacher? That cup was filled with all the pain of 6,000 years. And he was going to have to drink it. And he was the only one that could drink it and satisfy God. Luke chapter 22, that pain was so great, it said he'd been in agony, prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were as great drops of blood falling down on the ground. He had to get down in that pain to repair the pain of all those years of every child molestation. I was giving you some this morning. Every sin, everything you and I have ever done, Jesus was going to have to repair that. Psalms 116 verse 3, talking about Gethsemane, it said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Father, be possible, let this cup pass from me. I want to say the mediator, he must be able to repair that pain between those two parties. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, I want to say, was the only one in the universe that could ever, ever repair that pain. Well, I've talked to couples before, and I'm sure you know some too. Talked to people before. They got in fights and arguments and things 10 years ago, and they still can't get over it. We needed somebody, Brother Zito, that could come down here and take all those arguments and all that sin and all the fighting and all the hate we have against God and come down somehow and repair that pain and heal it. And there was only one that could do it. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, it says this. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him, despised, we esteemed him not. Surely, surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. And you say, why? Somebody had to repair the pain. Somebody had to bear the pain. Somebody had to mediate, Brother Zito, and get rid of that pain. And he was the only one to do it. And the only way he could repair that pain, Brother Chris, is bear all that pain. Look at verse 6. And we are all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. If it, Father, be possible, let this cup pass from me. If he didn't do it, friend, there would be no salvation. There'd be no peace. It'd be nothing but pain and hell. Verse 10. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Watch it. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. A mediator has to somehow repair the pain and the damage. And Jesus Christ did it. God said, I'm going to put all the sins and all the iniquities on Him. And when I see it, the travail of His soul, I'll be satisfied. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. You better thank God we got a mediator. But there's one mediator between man, God and man. The man Christ Jesus. I want to say He had to repair the pain. He had to remove the partition. He had to restore the peace. I want to say this morning, not only that, our mediator, He must reinforce the position. He doesn't have to bring us together. You know what a mediator's got to do? He's got to do more than bring them together. He's got to do more than represent, remove, restore, and repair. He's got to reinforce their relationship. He's got to reinforce that position. He doesn't just bring us together. He's got to bind us together. Because you know what's going to happen to every relationship. You've seen it with kids. You've seen it with people. You can go in there and meditate that thing and be the mediator and calm them down. And their old man there got their arm around each other, Brother Alonzo, and they're hugging and kissing. And 10 minutes later, pow, 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 they're going at it again. Just like us. A mediator's got to reinforce that position because the trials are going to come and the storms are going to come and the troubles are going to come and the tears are going to come and the scheming and the fighting's going to come. He's got to believe something to reinforce that position. Take your Bible. Turn to John chapter 14. I'm so glad our one mediator between God and man, Miss Zito, He didn't just bring us together. Oh no, He binded us together. Amen. He didn't just bring us together and okay, God and man, you guys get along, see if y'all can work it out. You know how long it'll last. He said, I'm going to give you something. Look at John 14, verse 16. Verse 16, here's the Lord saying, and I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another comforter. And He'll abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, watch this, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You see, my mediator, He didn't just remove the partition to restore the peace and repair the pain. Brother, He reinforced my new position. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. You know what He did? He made me born again. Woo! I want to say He sealed the deal, Brother Anthony. That's what they say in the world. I bet Brother Zito, he's a salesman. I bet his boss comes up to him a lot of times. He say, Anthony, did you seal the deal? Brother Anthony said, well, I hope so. He said, Dad, you better hope so too. You might want to go back here and talk. That's what the world says. That's when the mediator gets there and meets. Somebody said, well, did you seal the deal? Let me tell you, He sealed the deal. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Now He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us in God, and He has sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That word earnest means a down payment. Ephesians chapter 1, 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption, brother. He reinforced the position. And He sealed the deal. Woo, I like this. Woo! Nobody can make this up, brother. Only God could write this kind of stuff. I love it. Hebrews 13:5, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, therefore we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Like I had a brother Bill Duncan, used to go to church with at Grace. He is an old drunkard, got saved. Brother Chris, alcoholic. And old brother Bill was a big old guy. Bill Downing was his name. And he'd go to liquor stores and pass out tracts and preach to them people going in. And he is an old drunkard. I was with him one time. And Brother Bill was pretty big. He is a pretty bad guy. And the guy said to him, he said, I ought to beat the daylights out of you. He had a few other words in there, you know what I mean. He said, I ought to beat the daylights out of you, buddy, out here doing this. And Bill looked at him and said, buddy, you can't do nothing until your daddy goes and asks my daddy permission. Amen. He reinforced the position, the Lord, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So I boldly say, just like Brother Bill, the Lord is my helper. You get on me, brother, you better get on him too. I want to say, a mediator has to repair the pain and reinforce the position. Let me give you one more. And that mediator must be able to reconcile by his power. I've been a mediator a few times in my life, and I'm sure Miss Debbie has. Anybody who's been a manager, you've had to put out a lot of fights through the years. And a lot of time, boy, it's hard, isn't it? And you're in there all by yourself. And sometimes, you know what I want to do? Lay on the floor and laugh. It's so ridiculous. Sometimes I want to get on the floor and cry. Sometimes I want to just spank them both. Stuff like that, you know. You're in there trying to work it out. And it's all in your hands. You got to figure this thing out. And a mediator, he has to reconcile it by his power. He's the only one that can do it. The part of the reconciliation, it'll live and it'll die in his hands. If any reconciliation happens, the mediator has to do it at all costs. Man, I've been in there before. Man, listen, I've been chewed out by the best of them. Big time. I had one old boy work there, and he cost us $4 million in a project. And he lied and lied and lied. He had an open heart transplant, had a lot of things, and he'd been there for 30 years. He worked for me, and I was trying to save his job. And the CEO got in my face one day, Brother Anthony, and he told me, he says, I don't care how you do it or what you do, I want him out of here. I said, well, he ran over my face and pulled his time card out, his card, his we wear. He said, what does that say? Read it to me. I said, it says, Richard Shirey. He said, no, what does it say underneath? I said, it says, Chief Information Officer. He said, what does that mean? I said, it means you're the boss. I mean, sometimes a mediator, brother, you got to reconcile in your power. And that's all he had, the Lord Jesus, Brother Anthony. He couldn't go over to Michael. He said, Michael, how about help me out on this deal? Couldn't go over to Noah and say, Noah, come over here. Quit building that boat. I need some help. He was the only one that could reconcile by his power. The way of reconciliation, it lives and dies in the mediator's hand. And here's the problem with this one. For this one to live, he had to die. The only way in the world for us to be reconciled is for the mediator to die. That verse, Timothy 2:5, it says, for there's one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. See, for you and I to be mediated, the mediator had to die. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Get Ephesians. Get Hebrews 9, Romans 5. The one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, in order to reconcile you and I, he had to deal with his power, and the only power he had to deal with was to die on the old rugged cross. Hebrews chapter 9 says this, verse 13. For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify the purity of the flesh. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Watch it. And for this cause. Why? Because he died. For this cause he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions. Listen, brethren, the only way in the world he could be that mediator. This is the cause. He was a mediator because he died on the cross. That's the only way he could do it. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Romans 5. And go to Ephesians. Romans 5, Ephesians 2. A couple more verses. We'll be dismissed here. I could give you a lot more. I want to show you a few more. See, the only way Jesus Christ, the mediator, could reconcile me and you was through His power. And that power He had to lay it down and die on the cross. You ever notice that cross? You ever notice that thing? You know what that is? It's called an addition symbol. You know what that plus symbol does? It reaches over here and grabs this. It reaches over here and it grabs this. And it makes them equal. Brings them together. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the mediator between God and man, that God part of Him reached over there to man and says, "Come on over." And that man part of Him reached over that sinless man, is able to stand before God, grabbed that hand, said, "You guys now, y'all got to get together now." Amen. That addition symbol is a picture of the cross of Jesus. Yeah. Took two things, added them, man and God, and brought them together. He could reconcile them by His own power. Look at Romans chapter 5. Verse 8, "But God commanded His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more now, being justified as blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For when we were yet sinners, we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement." You know what that word atonement mean? It means that one. That's what it means. Atonement means at one. It means to smooth and commend those two. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. A mediator must be able to reconcile by his own power. A mediator must be able to represent both parties. He had to be God. He had to be man. There was no other way. He had to be able to remove that partition that separated you and I. He had to be able to restore that peace once you removed it. He had to be able to repair the pain. He had to be able to reinforce that position, otherwise we'd just fall out. It wouldn't last long. But brother, He gave us the Holy Spirit of God, put something in me, man, I'm telling you. Glory to God, it's like rivers of living water flowing through me sometimes. He gave me something that keeps me going. Woo! I like it, too, brother. I like it. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. "And He might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity." That's where the word enemy thereby. That partition and that that was separating us, Jesus Christ reconciled us by the cross. Colossians 1:20, "Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself." I want to say a mediator must be able to reconcile by His own power, just like He did. So there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One of the most richest men that ever lived was a man, his name was John Pierpont Morgan. Good friend of Brother Brian's probably. Him and Brother Brian probably were like that. But Brother Brian's not that old because he died in 1913. His name was J.P. Morgan. Born 1837 to 1913. He's one of the richest men that ever lived. And J.P. Morgan was a bank financier. That's what he was. He financed and formed things. J.P. Morgan financed one of the world's greatest mergers of all time, the merger of Edison General Electric and Thomson Houston Electric Company to form General Electric. He also financed and formed the United Steel Corporation, USS Steel, International Harvester, AT&T. At the height of J.P. Morgan's career, he was considered the world's most influential man. He has been awarded America's greatest banker. His seats of financial genius are the subject of many books. He's been written about for years and years. J.P. Morgan died March the 31st, 1913. He left behind a will, Brother Jeff, that was over 10,000 words and 36 different chapters in it, Brother Brian. All of his assets and acquisitions and transactions that he made through the years that he split up in his will. His will was over 10,000 words. He had many assets and acquisitions and transitions he made, but the greatest transaction and asset he ever made was at the last part of his will. Here's how that will of 10,000 words ended. I commit my soul in the hands of my Savior, full of confidence that having redeemed me and washed me with His most precious blood, He will present me faultless before the throne of my Heavenly Father. I entreat my children to maintain and defend at all hazard and at any cost of personal sacrifice the blessed doctrine of that complete atonement of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ once offered and through that alone. Amen. You know what J.P. Morgan found out? Well, there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, for our one great mediator. Thank you for the mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you, Lord, that we don't have to depend on ourselves, God. Thank you, Lord, we don't have to work for it. Thank you, Lord, we're saved by grace and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank you, Lord, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy, Lord. Thank you, God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Thank you for that one mediator between God and man, Lord. We'd have never made it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the hope we have. Thank you for that pardon and that remove that partition. Thank you for that all the things you've done for us, Lord. You didn't just save me, Lord, one day. But God, you gave me a joy. You gave me something to live for. You gave me something to get excited about. You gave me something, Lord, to get out of bed about. You gave me something, Lord, to raise my kids by. You gave me something, Lord, to Lord that I can face tomorrow. Knowing whatever happens, Lord, I know, God, you'll never leave me nor forsake me, Lord. Lord, I pray your blessing on this day. Pray your blessing upon the season that's coming up, Lord. And a lot of people will be mentioning you and celebrating you and things. And help us, Lord, to use this time wisely. And you said, redeem the time for the days are evil. Help us redeem this time, Lord, for you. And help us, God, when we're out and about, while people's minds are set on Christmas and these things, Lord. And even though they may not be correct, Lord, help us to use it as a door and an open, God, to tell people about the one great mediator between God and man. The one that represented both of us, removed that partition, Lord. The one that repaired the pain, restored the peace, Lord. And God, we just love you this morning. We pray your blessing upon the rest of the day this morning, Lord. And for the service tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.